Well, once again, it is good to be back with you here this morning after being away for the last 2 weeks. Jillian and I had an absolutely marvelous vacation in England and in Scotland. We saw cathedrals and churches and the beauty, the absolute beauty of the Scottish Highlands. And that was a first for me. I had never before been to Scotland, and Scotland is my family's ancestral home. And we just had a wonderful time. It was absolutely wonderful. So thank you for that gift of being away for a few weeks. If you can believe it, we only had a day or two of rain the whole time we were in the UK. All the locals were saying to us, be careful. It's not usually like this. But the wonderful weather, it did make for some great touring and sightseeing. And of course, being the shutterbug that I am, I took lots of photos, as Jillian did too. I know a number of you have seen some of the photos that Jillian and I took on our vacation on Facebook and have asked if it might be possible to see more of our photos from the trip, especially some of the pictures of the churches that we visited. And they were, amongst them, the mother churches of the Anglican Communion, the cathedrals of Canterbury and York, Roslyn Chapel in Scotland, made famous by the Da Vinci Code, the beautiful abbey at Iona, the island of Iona, from where Christianity spread into Scotland. So I'm going to take some time this week and next week, now that we're home, we only got home on Thursday night, I'm going to assemble some of those photos into a slideshow. And when I'm next here during the sermon time in 2 weeks, on Sunday the 21st of July, I'm going to share some of those photos as part of the sermon that day, and that way we can all have a chance to see some of the sights that we were so privileged to see as part of our 2 weeks away. In the meantime, though, I want to share a joke with you from our trip. I know Canon Susan loves to share jokes and sermons. Well, I'm going to do one today. And this is a joke that was told 2 Sundays ago at York Minster, believe it or not, by the Dean of York Minster, Bishop Jonathan Frost, as he was preaching his Sunday sermon. Because of its subject, fishing, I wrote it down. It goes something like this. There was once an atheist fisherman fishing in Scotland on the famous Loch Ness. Now, as you all know, Nessie, the Loch Ness monster, Nessie doesn't like to be disturbed by humans, much less by atheists. And so when she saw this man's fishing boat on Loch Ness, she took one flick with her tail, she tossed him up high into the air, and she got ready to enjoy a nice Scottish midday snack. As the fisherman was soaring high above the air, as he saw Nessie's gleaming white teeth shining brightly in the Scottish sunshine below, in desperation he cried out, "O Lord, have mercy on me, save me from this beast," the atheist cries. And in that moment, time seemed to stop. And suddenly the fisherman heard a voice coming from heaven, and the voice said, "I thought you didn't believe in me." The fisherman said, "O Lord, please have mercy. I just needed a reason to pray. If you could just change the heart of this ravenous beast, I will forever be in your debt." And at that moment, time resumed. And the fisherman continued to fall down from the heavens towards the beautiful lake and Nessie's teeth below. And as he fell, he could hear Nessie saying something. "For what I'm about to receive, make me truly grateful. Amen." I thought that was funny. It's good to have a laugh in church. Laughter is one of those gifts of the Spirit that Paul often talks about that binds us together through good times and in bad. And I think we're going to need a little bit of laughter this week, folks. We are going to need a little bit of laughter in the Anglican Church of Canada this week. And I say that because our General Synod, our Anglican Church of Canada's highest governing body, is meeting this week in Vancouver. And it's not going to be an easy meeting. It's not going to be an easy meeting. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today in my sermon, because there's a good chance that later this week you are going to see coverage of this meeting of the General Synod in either the newspapers or online or possibly even on the evening news on television. Our General Synod meets every 3 years, and it's made up of delegates from right across Canada. It includes bishops, all the bishops of the country, so Bishop John and Bishop Michael will be traveling to Vancouver this week, as well as clergy and lay delegates elected by all of the diocesan synods across the country. And this year, the General Synod is going to be considering three major topics. It will be voting to allow second reading of an amendment to the National Church's marriage canon to allow equal marriage of same-sex couples throughout the Anglican Church of Canada. It will also be voting on a motion to establish a self-determining and self-governing Indigenous church within the Anglican Church of Canada. And not least, the General Synod this year will be electing a new primate, a new presiding bishop for our national church. As Archbishop Fred Hiltz, who blessed us last year with a visit, Fred, after a long tenure as primate, is standing down and retiring. And it goes without saying that there's a good deal of anxiety within our beloved church across the country as we approach this meeting. The decisions that are going to be made this week in Vancouver, they are huge. They are of tremendous importance, and there are Anglicans right across Canada who are approaching this meeting from a whole host of perspectives. There will be some for whom, if the vote to give second reading to the amendment to the marriage canon fails, meaning that equal marriage, the marriage of same-sex persons, will likely only continue to be practiced in a select number of dioceses like ours that have advocated for the full inclusion of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters in the sacraments of the church. There are some for whom, if the vote to change that national marriage canon fails, they will be devastated and frustrated with the church and grieving the injustice and the oppression that continues to be inflicted upon gay people in the name of God's church. I would be one of those frustrated people. But likewise, however, there are those who will be devastated and frustrated with our church if the equal marriage amendment passes. And I know there are clergy in this country this morning who are preaching that sermon too. Moreover, there are those who will argue passionately on the floor of General Synod that proposals to establish a self-determining Indigenous church, they just go too far. And there are others who will argue with equal passion that the proposals that are being made just do not go far enough. There will be those who will be completely elated with the election of a new primate for our Anglican Church of Canada. And there will be others who will politely applaud, and then soon after they will start muttering under their breath or muttering in the comments section on Facebook online about the new primate's theology, or about their leadership skills, maybe even about their gender. It's not going to be an easy meeting. But at times like these in the life of our church, we need to remember that this is in no way new ground for us. This kind of situation, a hard synod, is by no means new. We've lived through difficult synods before. Indeed, we've been living with difficult synods and difficult conflicts and difficult church meetings as the body of Christ for the better part of 2,000 years. Let's take our reading this morning from St. Paul in Galatians. St. Paul is at pains this morning to remind a young church that is grappling with a question of inclusion, grappling with the question of circumcision. Must new converts to Christianity be circumcised according to the Jewish tradition, or may Gentiles enter the church and remain uncircumcised? And to return to a subject of brevity of humor for a minute or two, this was no small thingy. This was no small thingy, circumcision. This was actually a big deal. It was a huge matter of debate in the early church. The church was steeped in Jewish tradition, but it was also trying to be faithful to Jesus' command that we hear in Luke's gospel this morning to go out into the world and make room, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Go and spread my gospel, Jesus says to us. Spread my love throughout the world. But how do we do that, some ask back. If some won't be circumcised, if some won't live like the rest of us, how do we make our way if not everyone is willing to walk on the same path? And to that timeless question of how do we make our way amidst diversity, Paul says this: above all else, my friends, be gentle. Be gentle with one another. You who have received the Spirit should relate to each other in a spirit of gentleness, he says. Take care, he says, that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Be humble servants to each other. Love each other. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And we know that lesson well in this church family here at Holy Trinity Pembroke. We know the lesson, the importance, the holiness of sticking together. Sticking together as a church family, no matter what. We know that lesson well. And we know it well because we also know the pain and the trauma and the heartbreak that can happen when we don't listen to that holy wisdom of sticking together, no matter what. Because ultimately, as Paul writes, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, a new way of living, of following, of loving is everything. And for those who continue to bear with one another, who continue to stick together and follow that holy wisdom no matter what, Paul says this: peace be upon them. Peace be upon those who have the courage and the strength and the fortitude by God's grace to stick together. Peace and mercy be upon God's Israel. Peace and mercy be upon the whole people of God. And so I pray and I ask all of us to pray this week for our General Synod in Vancouver. May God grant us the grace to continue bearing with each other as we approach this meeting. May God grant us the grace and the strength to make room for all God's children within God's holy family. Whether we agree with each other or whether we disagree, let us make room. May God grant us the grace, the courage, and the wisdom to stick together, to continue walking in the way of Jesus, no matter what. For his way is God's way, the way of peace, the way of mercy, the way of laughter, the way of love. Amen.